Hey y'all, welcome to the Sinner and the Saint. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Allison Kane.
And today we are talking about the golden calf.
Yeah, we know you all have little idols, little gold idols sitting in your window sills.
I mean, we have a big buck. He's not quite gold, but
he is going to be our new mascot.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be on things. So today we're going to talk about idols, which is
American Idol.
No.
I don't really watch that. I watched the first season. It was real good, but
yeah, I think, you know, a lot of great people have come out of that.
Yeah.
America does have a lot of idols.
Oh, there it is. You're going to have to put the Jesus on it.
Slap a little Jesus on it. That's right. That's my job.
So, you know, the Bible says is an idol is anything you worship or put before God.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, the Bible, so if you define the word idol.
Yeah.
From the dictionary, it says it's a person or thing that is greatly admired, loved, or revered. So if you put that into biblical perspective, an idol is really anything, person, emotion that you put before God. So it can be a purse. It can be, you know, the status. We were talking about status and image.
Right.
You can make that an idol. It could be an emotion, like one of fear. I think there's been a lot of fear that has overcome their people's trust in God over the past several months. It can be a persona or a particular person. You know, sometimes a lot of children place their parents as idols or they have a mentor.
My kids do not do that. They never have.
I can sometimes place my kids in that position because, and I say that because I worry about them. You know, they're teenagers. You start to worry about them more. Then you start to trust that God loves them more than I do. And I'm trusting him to care for them. And so by doing that, and really the root of most any idol that you can come up with, the foundation of that is fear, which is an interesting thing. I was looking at Genesis 35 and, you know, this is where God tells Jacob to take his family and hit the road to Bethel. And Jacob is instructing them to get rid of all their foreign gods before they move so they don't have any trouble. Because it's like, listen, we're going to be out here traveling. We don't need any trouble from anybody. So you better make sure you clear out all that those fake gods because we need to rely on our one true God. I love that. But then I'm like, why did his peeps still have foreign gods at this point? Seems like they would have been long gone by now or he would have made this rule anyway. But anyway, that's like another podcast. So in verse 2, it says, so Jacob said to his household and to all those who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. And I love what the Message translation says. It says the alien gods, and the King James calls it strange gods. So basically any other thing that is other than our one true God, which would not be in a statue at all. But, you know, get rid of that stuff. And then I started thinking, what are all the strange gods that I have tucked under my camel saddle?
Girl, you got a camel up in here too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jacob and his family probably traveled with camels. That's why I said that. I don't know if they had saddles then. Maybe it just had donkeys. I don't know.
So, you know, you're talking about idols, and you said emotional idol, and I wouldn't know if it was an emotional idol, but I know one of my idols was my persona that people had of me.
Oh, yeah.
That they were afraid of me, and that I was kind of a bad girl, if you will. Like, don't mess with her.
Oh.
Or she's been, you know, she's a rough and tumble. She's, and so
from the wrong side of the tracks.
So I held on to that for a long time.
As a good thing or as a bad thing? That you wanted to be that person or that you didn't want to be known as that person?
I did want to be known as that. I didn't want people to mess with me. Like, oh, those perfect Christians don't even come around me.
Right. I'm putting up these walls. You'd be scared of this.
Those are my walls.
You see my barbed wire fence?
Yeah. Right? And, you know, when you're 5 feet nothing, you have to cuss like a sailor sometimes to get people away from you. And so it was kind of like, I want everyone to fear me before we have to go down that road. So that was an idol of mine.
Wow. You know, that is really interesting. And I think it's such a good example of how these idols, these things that that overtake us, can consume us, and we don't even realize it. You know, like I hadn't considered that my kids were my fear, you know, of letting them go in college or health. It could be somebody's finances. Oh gosh, I remember when God ripped the idol of materialism and finances out from under me. And I'll tell you, you know, that thing, when those things start to take root, it's like a weed that just starts growing and has just sprouted. It's a lot easier to pluck out of the ground than if it's been growing for a few years and those roots are pretty deep.
And I don't know about your weeds, but mine grow faster than my good stuff.
Oh, girl, I can grow a weed.
Yeah.
I can grow a weed. If y'all ever need a weed, I got some.
A weed, just so you know. Garden weeds, y'all.
Garden weeds, that's right. But, you know, the thing about idols, I can get obsessed with a purse that I see, even. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, I need to get that purse. I'm saving money for this purse. I'm doing this thing. You know, I want this purse. And, or, you know, whatever it is, maybe it's a car or, I mean, I don't need a car, but maybe for you it's a car or it's a new house or it's a new job. And it's this thing that we sort of tuck away and become obsessed over. And it basically takes rank above God. A lot of women put their children before God. A lot of women even put their children before their husbands, when in the rank it should be God, husband, children, if you're married. But God should always be on top. I mean, of all the Ten Commandments, that's the very first one. The very first one. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have any strange gods before me. And it seems like such an easy step and one to skip over. It's like, okay, cool.
I mean, right. I used to say I'm not praying to Allah.
Yeah, dude, I don't have a little cat, a golden calf. Wait, sitting in my window.
Is Allah God? I don't know.
Woo, girl, I don't know.
I'm not hanging out with Buddha. How's that?
There you go. Yeah, so I remember not understanding the concept of what an idol was. And I was recently having a conversation with someone who grew up in the Episcopal Church. And they don't ever talk about this sort of thing. And we were all in a group having this conversation. And she just said, I never have ever heard idols explained this way. I literally thought it was just a little statue of a fake idol, like the sun god or the, you know, I don't know, whatever god, the food god, the whatever. And this is all new for me. And so I thought, what an interesting topic, because I know for years I didn't really understand it, but it is so much more, and it's more than just something tangible. I mean, if you are worried about your finances, if you are worried about your marriage, if you are obsessed with money and how much you have, or if you're going to have enough, is that taking the place of God?
Or the way you look.
Yes.
Or the way you're perceived.
Yes. Yeah. Social media certainly has not helped us in that regard when it comes to that idol.
I mean, status is such a big one. I think about all the people that are in the rat race, you know, and mostly because I still have kids in the house, I think about these parents that are so concerned that if their kids don't get into the right school, they have to do X, Y, Z in high school so they can make sure they get into the right school so they can let the whole world know that they are a family that can go to that school.
It's a thing around this, yeah, Raleigh, for sure.
Yeah.
And the triangle. We certainly have. I know my daughter being in high school, she has certainly felt that pressure all around her in school, you know, having a certain score, having to get a tutor to do well on tests, and what colleges are you going to visit and go to. And I have, you know, she is so easy for her to fall down that anxiety path and that worry and that comparison, especially at her age, being a teenager. And so I have to go in the opposite. And I'm like, girl, whatever. I don't care if you go to college. She's like, Mom, you know, and I'm like, I'm just saying, go to Wake Tech. Don't go to college. Start your own business. Where is God leading you? Right? And so I take it to the extreme, but to make a point.
Is that extreme, though? Because that's kind of how I live my life on that end.
I don't think it's extreme. To her,
right,
it's crazy town. Because she is in the swirl in her big high school.
Can I be her crazy aunt?
Yes.
Awesome. I can say all the crazy things you want to say.
Great.
Right.
Great. That would be really good, actually. So I think today we would like to ask you to consider, like, what is your strange God?
Mm-hmm.
This alien god that may have crept into the worship place in your heart that you may not have realized was there. You know, what keeps your mind and heart spinning and working in a non-productive way that is hindering your trust and your faith in the Heavenly Father? That would be an idol.
So you said, what keeps you from worshiping? And I can honestly say, you know, for some people, their pastor becomes an idol.
Oh, yes.
And that pastor, unintentionally, not on his part, replaces God for you and your time with God and your relationship with God because you're relying on what that pastor is going to say, who, by the way, is a broken person just like the rest of us, right?
Right. So please, I know that I'm probably speaking for all pastors, or at least the good ones that should be pastors, when I say, please don't put them on a pedestal. They don't want to be there.
Right.
Or they shouldn't. Nobody wants to be placed on a pedestal because there's only one way down. As a human, the only person that can never let us down is God. And everybody else will let us down because we're all fallible.
Yeah, and so if you are going to church on Sunday morning and listening to a message and doing worship, awesome, right?
Yeah.
That cannot replace your personal relationship with God.
No, absolutely not.
And you can't just go off of His word. You have to go off of what God tells you because He's in a different part of His life right now. He's going through different things. God's word speaks to Him differently than it's going to speak to you if you're reading the same chapter on your own.
That's so true. I mean, I can read the same chapter at different times in my own life, and it speaks to me in different ways. I mean, that is what I always think. People that say that the Word of God isn't relevant and real and relatable, they just actually, none of them have read the Word of God. Because if you say that and you've read the Word of God, I want you to text us or email us. Because I've actually never met anyone who has made that claim and actually read the Word of God, because it is relevant.
I know you call them out too, don't you?
Uh-huh.
So I am currently going through the one-year Bible, and it gives you an Old Testament and a New Testament reading. It's like binging two Netflix channels at once, right?
Yes.
And so the Old Testament, wow.
Ooh, girl.
Y'all want to feel good about yourself? Go read the Old Testament.
For real. For real. And you read Leviticus, you will be so thankful for some Jesus. Like, if you didn't love Jesus before, you read Leviticus and you see all the stuff that they had to do before Jesus came to purify us through His blood. Everything they had to do before He came, it will make you really appreciate some Jesus.
Oh, we're going to talk about that soon.
Yes.
In another podcast coming up on balance. It's going to be called the Big Kahuna, so look out for that one. But, yeah, I think idols are huge. I think that I kept one of my idols as, I mean, some people can use organization or perfectionism as an idol.
Yeah, because that's control.
For
that
me,
that basically boils
protector.
Down to control.
Because I had been through so much, and I had done so much, I didn't need anybody. You see where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I could do the same for my kids. So not only was I holding that persona, or whatever you want to call it, as an idol, but for my children, I wasn't letting God be God because I was trying to control all of their life out of fear that
That's
they
right.
would see what I had seen or go through what I have gone through. And so fear dictated so much.
So let's go back to that because, you know, I said fear is usually the root of all these idols. You think about your persona and your image. That idol, if you boil it down, is fear of not being accepted, fear of not fitting in, fear of not being enough. You know, if your idol is finances, what is that fear of? That's fear of not having enough money, not being able to keep up with the Joneses, not being able to pay your bills. You know, that's a fear. If it is a person that you're idolizing, it is a fear of being without that person. Is that person going to leave me? I can't do my life without that person. I'm not good enough on my own. And so it's hard and it takes time. There are way more idols stuck in our hearts. I mean, I know I've got some that God has not revealed to me yet. Graciously, I think He plucks them out one at a time. And
one by one.
Because He knows we couldn't handle it all at once. It'd pull out all the topsoil out of that garden, you know, with all the roots clinging to the dirt. But And it's not fun, but I will tell you that once you get on the other side of that idol being released, recognizing it and being able to go through the work and the hardship and the tension of letting that idol go, it is incredible how much deeper your faith and your trust grows in Jesus.
And it's so freeing. It's almost like a weight is lifted off you when you realize, oh, wait a minute.
Right. I don't have to do that.
Right.
It's not up to me.
Yeah.
Again, change that perspective like we've talked about before. Like, I don't have to worry about that.
Right.
God's got me. Trust Him for that. In fact, I just said to someone yesterday, we were having a conversation. She's very concerned about the finances in their family and she and her husband not being on the same page. And I said, let me just ask you a question. Don't answer it. It's just for you to consider. Can you just let that go and turn that over to God? And tell your husband, I'm releasing my worry and control over our finances. I'm trusting you as the spiritual leader of our household and as my husband and God to care for and keep our family safe financially. And, I mean, long pause, right? It's changing, not because she couldn't do it or wouldn't do it, but because it was like, oh, wow. You know, we have to switch our perspective sometimes. And so her fear of running out of money or someone spending it the way it shouldn't be spent has become an idol, and it's overwhelming her trust in that she has in the Father. And she has a strong, strong faith. I admire her so much. I know she'll do it.
I mean, I think that comes back to you can only do what you can do.
Your circle, baby.
And I mean, that has to do with your kids. That has to do with your spouses, your family, your friends. You can only control what you're going to do.
Absolutely. I love, there's that Psalms 119:10. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And so during these past few months, you know, as my mind wanders and we talked about how deceitful the mind can be, and worrying about things and putting other things before God and turning them into idols, I actually went to consciousink.com and they have all these scripture temporary tattoos. And y'all, I love change and rearranging so much. I probably could never have a permanent tattoo because I like to switch it up so much.
Hold that thought though. I'm probably going to get her one day.
So I have been wearing this beautiful temporary tattoo on my arm that says, bind my wandering heart to thee. And sometimes that's what I need. You know, I know that there is an idol. I've gotten better. I haven't recognized all of them. I haven't plucked them all out. I don't think we ever will. Well, it's always going to be an issue as long as we're alive on this planet until we go to heaven. But trying to keep that on the forefront and keeping them plucked out along the way and reminding myself, just bind your heart to Jesus. Just keep looking to Him. And seeing those words and seeing that every day for the past few weeks has been so helpful for me. So whatever it is, you know, you do have to pray. You have to pray that God will reveal those idols to you, because some of them are really stuck deep in there. They've been covered up by more topsoil and more weeds and more situations, and they're deep in there. But pray about it first.
You know, sometimes I think I hear God talking to me. We talked about the whisper of God. He doesn't really whisper to me. We just, you know,
chat.
We chat it out. And so when I have a fear of something, like you said, it's probably because I'm holding it too tightly. And basically, like, God can't handle this is what I might be thinking. Like, oh, well, I'm worried about my money because God won't provide. Well,
He's not big enough to take care of my finances.
Right.
Right.
And so that is where I always go to.
I love that.
Because, like,
changing your perspective.
Changing
again,
my perspective.
To the truth.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know what?
What?
I know what tattoo you need.
What?
It needs to say, word. Because it'll totally go with that tattoo.
I know. The word, y'all know why I'm bringing that. Oh, it is actually coming back. One of my kids said it the other day. It's working.
Those poor kids are brainwashing them.
Maybe. Y'all pray for my family. Well, we hope you enjoyed the conversation today on idols. It's just remember, it's not a golden calf in the window. It's not always something tangible that you can see or touch. It can be an emotion or a persona or something. But ask yourself some important questions, like, what am I afraid of? Why am I keeping a tight grip on this and not turning it over to the Lord? Send us your comments, send us your questions, and we look forward to talking with you next week on the Center and the Saint.
Word.